Today's podcast from Tiethne is on the subject of why it is important to study biblical prophecy. Today we're going to look at one of Jesus' prophecies from Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 36 and going down to verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, speaking of the second coming of Christ, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Again, we're going to look at why it is important to study biblical prophecy. It is of crucial importance that we understand what our Lord meant when he said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." Simply, because Jesus likened these two eras together and said that one is a parallel of the other. So if we are to be prepared for what the future will hold, so that the conditions we encounter in the world will not surprise us, then we need to see what the conditions were like in Noah's day. For 10 consecutive generations, from Adam to Noah, people progressively became more and more ignorant of the spiritual reality and truth. Eating and drinking, romantic intrigue and marriage, buying and selling and other worldly affairs were preoccupations of the day. People lived in abysmal ignorance of the spiritual reality around them. They forgot who God was. They forgot who they were, why they existed, and where they were going. Spiritually, they were unaware. Spiritual blindness eventually leads to corruption and outright violence. Of Noah's generation, the Bible records in Genesis that the earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence. There's some interesting word choices used by Scripture in that passage. In fact, if you would take your Bibles and turn back in Genesis chapter 6. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they are beautiful. They took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There are giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and every intent of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." That verse 5 of Genesis 6. "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of his heart was only evil continually." There's a couple words there. The Hebrew word shakat, which can be translated as corrupt or wicked. That word in Hebrew means to be sexually immoral. There's another word that's used. It is kamas, which is translated as violence, that he was violent, lawless, has to do with robbing things by force. The Jewish Midrash comments on these verses of Genesis 6 to explain that the people at the time regularly exchanged marriage partners. Worse than that was the attitude toward marriage by the government of that time. In the Babylonian Talmud, which is the book of the Jewish rabbi's interpretation of the Old Testament, which was written some 1,000 years before Christ, the Babylonian Talmud writes that there was only one time in history where the state approved the marriage of women to women and men to men, the generation of the flood. Not Sodom and Gomorrah, although homosexuality was very prevalent there. Not ancient Greece or Rome or Babylon, but in the days of Noah. According to the Babylonian Talmud, homosexual marriage was a final straw that led to the flood. Listen to the words of Rabbi Aras Barrow. God had compassion on the people before the flood in hopes that they would repent and turn back to his ways. But before the flood, people started to write marriage contracts between men. In other words, homosexual marriage, which is more than homosexual activity. It is giving an official state stamp of approval, a sanctification of homosexual partnership. This sin, in and of itself, is so contrary to why God created the world, so contrary to the order of God's nature, that God said then and there, I have to start all over. I have to annihilate the world and start from the beginning. End quote. Do we parallel this in the United States today, or what? The days of Noah were also marked by a spiritual decline. By the time of the flood, the number of genuine believers was an ever-decreasing minority of the total world population. In fact, only 8 were saved in the end. Sometimes you'll see commentaries written and they'll talk about the line of Seth and the line of Cain and how one was a godly line and one was an ungodly line. That simply is not recorded in Scripture. By the time we get to the time of the flood, there is no one but Noah and his immediate family, only 8 people who were righteous on the face of the earth. Only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 8 out of the total world population. Today, genuine believers are far outnumbered by unbelievers. Even in America, the most liberal estimate is 20-25% of the population being born again. Most conservative figures say only 10-15% of our population is truly born again. Noah's day was a time of social dilemma. There was a population explosion happening, bringing with it new problems. Men began to multiply upon the face of the earth. They began to congregate in urban areas, bringing with them violence and crime. Today in the United States, there is a murder committed some every 34 minutes. Sexual assault on a woman every 2 minutes. A house robbed every 9 seconds. As people begin to congregate more and more into urban areas, we bring with us more and more violence and crime. Genesis 5 talks about the fact that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. A study of both chapters 4 and 5 of Genesis shows the beginning of polygamy, murder, and blasphemy. It had gotten to the point that the corruption of humanity was almost complete, particularly in the imagination of men. Today, all you have to do is think about the constant filth spewing out of the internet, from television, from movies especially, this summer. And you can see a direct parallel between today's society and the United States and the Western world and in the days of Noah. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 56, and verse 26, there's a very interesting verse. Unfortunately, most Bibles give us a very poor translation. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, as for Seth, to him also was a son born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. The English translation isn't quite right. Just think about it for a moment. If it wasn't until the time of Enosh when man began to pray, then who did Adam, Abel, or Seth pray to? Literally, the Hebrew translation is, then men began to call themselves by the name of Yahweh, or men began to call their gods by the name of Yahweh. People began to call themselves and their man-made creations God. Do you see the start here of idolatry? The start here even of the elevation of mankind to godhood. Instead of being a created being, they're elevating themselves up to becoming the divine. We see this reiterated in the New Testament in the words of Paul. If you take your Bibles and you turn to the very first chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, Paul writes this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up then in uncleanness to the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the Creator, the created rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither did they give thanks. They became vain in their reasonings, their senseless hearts were darkened. The ancient historian Josephus, in chapter 3 of his book, Antiquities of the Jews, declares that for 7 generations the sons of Seth regarded the name of the Lord, but from the 7th generation on they fell into moral decay and began to worship other gods. Ancient translations of Genesis into Aramaic during the time of the Babylonian captivity translates this verse this way. To Seth was born a son. He called his name Enosh. In his days, the sons of men desisted from praying in the name of the Lord. In other words, they stopped praying in the name of God. To Seth was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. That was a generation in whose days they began to err and to make themselves idols, and they surnamed their idols by the name of the word of the Lord. The Hebrew word used in Genesis 4:6, kalal, means to profane, to defile, to pollute, or to desecrate God's name. They weren't praying to God. They were desecrating God by praying to idols and elevating themselves to being divine. Certainly today, people pollute, profane, and desecrate God's name with their speech. People also worship themselves, and many of the fastest growing religions like Mormonism, Scientology, and many New Age cults teach that you can be or are a god yourself. Idolatry runs rampant as people pray to saints, idols, Mary, and a whole bunch of other things beside the Lord. Prayer meetings are almost completely gone and poorly attended because we are too busy to call upon the name of God. Our day, like the days of Noah, are corrupt and vile. Our days are evil. Marriage is abused. Homosexuality is not only accepted but protected and promoted by the state. The wicked rule. Violence prevails. Men are corrupt. The days are dark. It is a time of apostasy. God's word is rejected and ridiculed. There are very few righteous people. Our world is appointed for destruction. These days are trying days. People are indifferent. The work is difficult. The results are discouraging. We must face our days as Noah faced his. Noah sought and found God's grace. Noah was obedient to God's word. Noah was concerned for the lost. Christ could truly come back at any time. Are you ready to face Him when He returns? Are your friends? Is your family ready to face it? In times of darkness, light shines brightly. How bright is your light shining? In times of darkness, it is easy to give into despair, to throw up your hands in exasperation and quit. Noah built an ark big enough to save thousands. He tried his best as a preacher of righteousness to bring as many people with him as he could. How many are you trying to bring to heaven with you? Jesus said, the time of the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. People will be going about doing mundane things. They'll be working in the fields. They'll be working at the mill. They'll be planning weddings. They'll be planning what they're going to college for. They'll be planning what occupation they're going to have. They'll be planning their family life. They'll continue to keep going, assuming that the world will continue going the way it always has been. Yet we know through study of prophecy that Christ could return at any time. We don't know that time. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be 100 years from now. We do not know. But just because we don't know when it will occur doesn't mean we get a pass on preparing for it to occur. Jesus will also spend a lot of time doing other parables, wise and foolish virgins, other things, people being ready, watching, waiting. Jesus says, watch and wait so that you're not caught unawares. Watch and wait for me to return. Get ready. Preach righteousness. Preach it. When the times are dark, that is when light shines the brightest. And as we come to the end of today's podcast, I ask you once again, are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Come, prepare yourself today for His return. Thank you. You have been listening to Ta Ethne's podcast. April 22nd, 2014.